So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there. Do you ever feel like you're outgrowing alcohol, that you are longing for a deeper connection to life? If alcohol is keeping you playing small and feels like the one area you just can't figure out, you are in the right place. Hi, my name is Mary Wagstaff. I'm a holistic alcohol coach who ended a 20-year relationship to alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. Now I help powerful women just like you eliminate their desire to drink on their own terms. In this podcast, we will explore the revolutionary approach of my proven 5 shifts process that gets alcohol out of your way by breaking all of the rules, and the profound experience that it is to rediscover who you are on the other side of alcohol. I am so thrilled to be your guide. Welcome to your journey of awakening. Welcome back to the show, my beautiful listeners. You're here. I'm here. We're here together. And in this moment, I want you to know you belong. You have the right to be here. I created this space for you to come and connect to yourself and to know that you are also connected to a community of women who support you. I really believe that. And if you haven't yet, come over to join us in the Facebook group, the Sacred Online Sanctuary. I know it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but we are over there and I'm really wanting to build up a conversation. So the link is here in the show notes. I'd absolutely love to have you and meet you and connect. And the more conversations we can get going, then the more I can offer and tailor some content and live content over there also to your needs. So today we're going to talk about self-acceptance. Self-acceptance is huge, and it's everything. And I think it's something that most people, and women especially, really struggle with. And you know, it's like marketing is a thing, right? Marketing is always about telling you that you need something outside of yourself. So in sales and marketing, if you ever watched, do remember the show Mad Men, and how they brilliantly, right, we use psychology is used in marketing, and it's used to invoke a sense of an emotion, either fear of missing out or desire and excitement and longing of, oh my gosh, if I have this thing, my life will be better. Or, oh my gosh, I can't be the only one without it, right? Like there's some sense of scarcity or fear in marketing, or, oh, like, yeah, they really hit the nail on the head with that problem that I have. And the only solution is to find something outside of myself. And so self-acceptance is really about self-trust. And the problem that, you know, is created when we don't have self-acceptance, when we don't accept ourselves the way that we are, is we're really under some sort of belief that it's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, how does alcohol play a role into this? Well, it plays a role into this in so many areas, because the biggest piece is that, aside from the urges to drink, is in many cases we're denying ourselves our organic and natural emotion that would naturally arise from just whatever thoughts that we have, whether or not those thoughts are true or useful. So when we're altering the state of our natural self, the way we would naturally show up, we don't give ourselves a chance to transition naturally, to have a new response, right? Like, we're not robots. We can be, I mean, shit, even a robot can be reprogrammed, right? So it's like, we can respond to life, even if you've responded the same way to the same thing a million times, it is still possible to learn and have a different response to something and to be, you know, to be less reactive or to change. But when we alter our natural emotion, the emotion that arises kind of based on our belief systems, based on the thought that we have, when we interrupt that with alcohol, we are not accepting that, and then we never get a chance to change it. So if you want to change your life and the way that you show up and the way that you view things and your perspective, you need to know first what the habitual responses, right? And then, because you can't examine the habitual response if you're always overriding it with a drink and then you just ignore it. So this is the point of self-acceptance. And also, then there's like all of the narratives about everyone else is doing it, I'll be missing out, so on and so forth, which, you know, as we have these conversations and we say these things out loud, like it's like what everybody else is doing it, you know, it seems, this is the power of coaching too, that's so powerful, or even self-coaching. When you say something out loud or write it down on paper, it really loses its power because once it was you, it was a way, an energy in which you were identifying with that felt very real, very much an embodied experience. And then you write it down or say it out loud. Now it's outside of you, right? It's out into the world. It's separate from who you are. So you have an opportunity to accept it because now it's like not of you. And so you see it in a new way. So there's this belief that it's not supposed to be the way that it is. And in life, you know, if something is and it already happened and existed, how do we know it wasn't supposed to be that way? We don't know. Like, it happened. It is, right? So one of the ways of the journey of awakening and surrender is acceptance, right? And this is not about accepting. Like, I can't tell you, mostly everyone that comes to me has this story that like alcohol just doesn't work for me, right? Sure. Does everyone's body metabolize alcohol differently? Absolutely. But we never, ever, 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 ever know what is happening in another person's body. So to ever compare yourself or in another person's mind or their heart or their soul to what the person next to you, you think that they're having an experience with, there's the acceptance of like, this is the experience I have in my body and it's not serving me. It's not useful, right? Instead of like, but then like people will even use that against themselves. It's like, I just know I can't have one and they can, right? Like I have to accept that I just can't have one, but you're still comparing it to something else, right? And it's so not useful. And I've talked about this before, like, let's go beyond like the one to let's make one unimportant. So this message of I should be different than I am. Okay. And it's very subtle. That example is very, very subtle. Like, yes, one doesn't work for you, but in like 10 doesn't work for you, right? Like you could decide one worked for you. You could decide like you could decide 10 works for you, right? But is it the result you want? One or 10 or 20, right? It doesn't even matter. This is about like, and it's also about accepting, you know, the nature of alcohol, but that's different. This is about self-acceptance. So the solution here is like understanding, first of all, whose standards are you comparing yourself to? Even in that example, who you're comparing yourself to, an idea, a hypothetical idea. We have no clue. Do you know how many times like I drank before I showed up somewhere and then drank after I went home? And maybe I sipped on a drink at the bar. So I will never forget a good friend of mine said to me, wow, and it wasn't even really intentional, but after I got to know him, he was like, wow, I really like, you know, kind of like, I thought you were this classy lady that just could really control her drinking. Then he got to know me and my drinking, not to say I wasn't still classy, but probably not. But he knew that I was much bigger of a drinker than he had initially thought, because I had like this, the first time we met, I had this one drink and I remember, like, I very much remember like sipping on it. He had no clue. He had this whole thought and this whole story in my head of what kind of drinker I was. And he was very wrong, because we ended up partying a lot together and he actually wasn't as big of a drinker, which is funny. So whose standards are you comparing yourself to? Is it an idea? How do you know? You just don't even know. I mean, even the closest people lie to you. People lie to themselves, right? We lie to ourselves. What, like, how do we know? And the bigger solution, the bigger problem here really is self-acceptance is really about the right to belong. And that's why I started this episode saying you belong here. You have the right to belong here. And the truth is, on this planet, you're born, you have the right to belong. Everyone, every body, every way that you show up has the right to be here, has the right to take up space, and to be here. And that, in my environment, you have the right to be here. So this is really kind of like a root chakra issue. Our root chakra being our centeredness, our groundedness, our connection to earth. And what's required to shift from the way that you're comparing yourself is A, first becoming aware of those thinkings, those thoughts, and rather than disproving them, is first coming into a mindfulness experience, coming into a present moment, having an embodied experience of being centered and grounded and connected to the earth, engaging with your senses, your proprioception as you're walking, right? Paying attention to your senses, how are the felt sensing is your proprioception, noticing like, what does it feel like behind you? What does it feel like around you, inside of you? And this is a way you can start to practice self-acceptance by just noticing how you are in any given moment. And there's some thinking that you can do. There are some thoughts that can help you find a sense of relief, find a sense of groundedness, but it's going to be more in your embodied experience or the combination of them. And one thought that I really like and I've used for myself a lot is, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay. I deserve to be here. I deserve to belong. This is me right now. Right here, right now, this is me. Here I am. Here I am. I am right here. I am right here. And I always have to take a deep breath, and I'm right in the present moment. I have a body, and you can scan your body. I have a body. So some other ways that you can connect in a more of an embodied way with your sense of self-acceptance and your sense of belonging is earthing. Sitting on the ground, putting your bare feet or your bare hands on the ground has a lot of scientific evidence of shifting us from it's going to help regulate the nervous system, and it's going to connect you with the nature of who you are as a human, organic being of the earth versus the messaging and the energy that comes from culture. Culture is something that we create as a community, but it is also a fad. It's also a fad, and I don't mean that none of it's true or real or valuable, but it changes as the need for the human changes. And I think the culture that we define in this present day isn't defined often by the community. We have to really look at, what is the community really wanting and needing right now, right? So being connected with the earth is helping you connect in with a bigger picture of who you are. Dancing with music is going to help you take different shapes in your body and help you get curious about different senses sensations as you move in new ways, where you let the skin of your body meet the music, right? The music is, there's rhythm, there's pulse, and this is, we know, a universal language that helps people journey, that evokes emotion. Yes, there could be messaging through words, but there is just a natural pulse of the way that our body responds vibrationally, right? We are vibrational beings of energy, responds to different frequencies of music. It's everything I'm learning right now in my embodied leadership program as a DJ, is how do I take someone on a transformational journey through their body in a way that first they can come in and feel safe and grounded, and then they move into their creativity and maybe a little bit more power, and then they can dissolve some of that energy, and then they have a new there's a new expression, there's a new vision, there's a new perspective, and now they're connected to the whole, right? Like, it's this whole hero's journey through the chakra systems. It's a really beautiful experience, but we have to start with the rootedness. We have to start with the groundedness. So connecting to nature to know what's real. How do you connect? How do you feel safe? Really establishing that for yourself is a great, first of all, a great way to start the journey of real self-acceptance. Where do you feel safe in your body? What feels naturally at ease? And can you tune into that? Does bringing your hand onto your heart and taking a deep breath and opening your eyes wide, does that create a sense of groundedness? Using the imagery of a grounding cord entering the earth to root you in your body, because it's the mind that creates the disconnect about the body often, the judgments about how we should look, how we should be, what we say, how we breathe, what we are doing, what we're not doing. So it's actually the mind and not actually the state of the body that's creating all of the rules, right? So first we have to come into a state of the parasympathetic nervous system being turned on so we can find some relief. We can find a natural catharsis to then explore. And you get to decide how you want to feel safe in your body. A question that I want you to answer right now without thinking, what about your body are you grateful for? What's your favorite thing? And it doesn't have to be like an aesthetic thing. I love thinking about my spine. My spine, amazing, just amazing. The shapes that it takes, it's so cool. How can you connect with that part of you that you think is, you're just so grateful for, that helps you feed your children, caress your loved ones, make food, gather your garden, maybe read? Like, what is the thing that you love to do? Sing, dance, bathe, kiss, just that one thing. And can you come back to that and dive into the energy that is created when you think about that one part of your body? Could be your, you know, an organ. It could be a piece of hair. And then using that as a jumping point to continue to build your bridge of self-acceptance. And so the result of this connecting to self-acceptance through the present moment, through the body, is going to release some tension. And then what it does is it allows for some space for a new perspective, right? And it also shifts your attention to placing your attention on what is real, right? My intention is to feel safe and grounded and to accept I'm right here, right now. Now, what do I think about my wrinkles? Now, what do I think about the number on the scale? Now, what do I think about that thing that I said yesterday that no one else is thinking about anymore? Like when I tripped and fell into the door at the yoga studio, right? When you make space, you get access to higher states of thinking, higher, different perspectives. Until you make space, we get stuck. We get stuck, and the root chakra is either overly activated or underactivated. So this is my invitation to you this week. We all could have a deeper sense of self-acceptance, and you could start with, what do you already really love and accept about yourself? And diving into that sense of belonging, that sense of groundedness, that sense of I am here and I have the right to belong. And if that feels really not good in your body, the connecting to the earth and then connecting to what is that thing about your body that you are so grateful for. I would love to hear about your journey with this, how this lands for you, and know that this is the type of work we do together in one-on-one coaching, where we really get to explore these needs, these basic rights of being human, that when they go unmet, there is a disharmony in the body that keeps us stuck in our habitual thinking and our habitual patterns. And it's time to go beyond that and journey beyond that. I absolutely think you're amazing. I'm so grateful for you being here. Have an amazing week. The bridge between where you are and where you want to go with alcohol is spiritual alignment. That is what makes my private coaching program so unique and effective. It meets the needs of all parts of you through a feminine lens so that sobriety can become a sustainable part of your life while alcohol becomes unimportant. Take your commitment to self to the next level by scheduling a private discovery call with me. Follow the link in the show notes to pick the best time that works for you, and I will take care of the rest. I can't wait to connect with you in real life.